Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Great to be with you as always. Hope this finds you doing well, feeling good. How you doing? Everybody all right? Everybody doing okay? You know, it's weird. By the way, I'm Jeff. That's Tom. There's Director Matthew. And thanks to all of you for watching and listening. If you're watching, another reminder on War Chant TV, make sure you like and subscribe. That's like the second time in the last 10 days I've done that. Where the hell is this coming from? The plural.
Are you watching Letterkenny at all?
No. Oh. I don't know where this is coming from. It's very strange.
There's a lot of plurals in Letterkenny.
Yeah, I don't know. It's odd. Anyhow, it's kind of fun. It's kind of like my own little lingo. Subscribes. Make sure you subscribe, yo. Anyhow, the thing is, you got to like and subscribe and pass it around and do all those things. You know. This is fascinating. I've got a thing. It's moved over into. This is a better way of explaining it. You know, when you mow a lawn, and men, you understand what I'm talking about, and maybe some of you women do too. But when you mow a lawn, there is extreme satisfaction in having done so. The mowing itself is whatever. It can be cathartic at times. I tend to listen to podcasts while I'm doing it. But anyhow, the point would be, afterwards, you stand out there. It's a cliche. It's a meme. People use it all the time. The way that we stand tall, proud, as if we had just conquered a country. And we're looking across the landscape in celebration of our achievement, right? One of the things that is satisfying about it is, obviously, you can see that the time put in, the toil, the effort, all of it that you've done, there is a clear result. This is what we wrought. This is what we did. And that's very satisfying. And that way, I think most men, if asked to do chores around the house, would tell you, I also like to vacuum if you have a carpet. Now, we went all hardwood, so there's very little carpet in my house anymore.
It's the only way to go.
Oh, you know, you got... A lot of jokes there. But, you know, when I had nothing but carpet, I would volunteer when my wife would say, this weekend we're getting it together. The house has gotten a little messy. Let's get it together, you know. You got some things out in the garage you got to clean up. You got to do. What do you want to do? Do you want the bathroom or do you want to vacuum? I'm vacuuming. I got the vacuuming. You get after that bathroom all day long if you want. I'll get this vacuuming done. And I liked it. I would go out and get the scented carpet freshener and all
love
that.
Love my carpet.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. There's so many different types. But I would do that. But I would vacuum, and I'd get the same sort of satisfaction from having vacuum that I get from mowing the lawn. You know, you stand and you gaze upon your successes. I now have seen, as an aside, just happened this morning. I really can't get things done if there's a dish in the sink anymore.
Really?
Can you believe it?
Not a singular dish.
Now, this is a guy. If there are people listening to this show that knew me in college, or God forbid, even before that, you would be floored to hear that, because I wasn't the cleanest roommate. Now, I didn't infringe upon your space with my filth, but yeah, it was pretty messy.
Well, you infringed upon the common areas with the filth, I'm sure.
To some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, I was always respectful for that. Like, if one of my roommates were to come in and be like, what the hell? And that was mostly my stuff, I'd get that cleaned up. I'm not an ass in that
way.
Right,
you pile it up and move it to the corner.
Yeah, it's off your side now. What do you care?
Sit down. The futon's open.
No. So, yeah. But now that's what's happened to me. There it is. I have to have, if I'm walking around and I look over and one of the kids has left the dish in there and it's not cleaned, it's not put away. Like, I do the once over real quick before I put it in the dishwasher. Always. But it's not hard. I've tried to explain this. We got to do a once over. And there it is. And so that's what happened. I ended up,
little rinsey rinse.
I have to. I can't walk past the kitchen anymore without a glance. It's happened to me now. And then I look upon what I've done with the same sort of satisfaction. You got to be kidding me.
So you walk out of there with a Tiger fist pump, like a Thursday fist pump. Like, you just made a good
just
par
putt. All right, we're
that's
all
good
right.
Par putt
because
right
I left the house to come to the studio to do the show. And one of the things that I thought about when I got in the car was that I was really pleased that the sink was solid. Man, that's not true.
I'm looking it up right
well,
now.
I just found out. Oh, damn it, man.
It is.
It is true. I see it. Ah, come on. That is, well, you know, listen, rest in peace, Ray Liotta. That's the news we're reacting to. 67 years old. He's passed away. You know, I think it might have been the, whatever the cigarette medication he took.
Chantix, yeah.
Remember the video I showed you with the Chantix?
Yes. Well, in college, real quick, there was a study on Chantix. I was in health economics and how it made people suicidal. Now, I hope that's not what happened to Ray here.
Oh, no, I'd like to think that's
but
not what
happened.
But
it was pretty well proven.
Hard drinking and smoking for
probably
years.
Probably so. His voice would indicate that that's the path he went.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't. There's a little slice of life in there in Goodfellas, the pack, you know, hour and a half of the movie that went an hour too long. Yeah. Yeah.
Ah. Well, it's a shame. Obviously, everybody's immediately going to rightfully cite Goodfellas with Ray Liotta. Been in a lot of very good films beyond
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah, Field of Dreams. But, you know, Copland. He's great in Copland.
Yeah, he sure is.
It's such a good scene in the bar.
Again, guy's had a rough go.
That seemed to mirror, in reality, probably his existence, did it not? Like, Copland, that character was so well played. I'm like, had some rough times with the ladies, might have committed insurance fraud, drank heavily on a Wednesday at noon, smoked nonstop. That seemed like a Ray Liotta existence.
Yeah. Also, it wasn't necessarily his fault, but, you know, his role in the Sopranos movie, like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, he's a twin, like, for real? What are we doing here?
Yeah, that
come
was
on.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, you know, Henry Hill, Goodfellas, all time, doff the cap, well done.
Lick a cigarette butt for him.
Man. Karen! That was always my favorite, just the way he said it, when she dumps the cocaine. How could you do that? And he's so desperate. And I remember laughing at the absurdity, but also having empathy with, you know, he wasn't wrong. Like, the guy is screaming at the top of his lungs about her dumping bags of cocaine out as the cops enter their premises, and yet you're like, he's right, Karen. What are you doing? You could have hit. That's worth a lot of money. You guys are having, you got real financial difficulties now. What are we going to do without this cocaine? That's the start of, like, when you write a character that is so flawed, so broken, involved in all the wrong things. We now do it all the time. But those are the anti-heroes that you love.
Yeah, if in my ranking of, like, listen, he just passed away, so I'm not going to rag on him. But yeah.
No, you don't have to love every element of that movie or whatever else. His character, that he's awesome in that movie.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Tour de force, you might say.
Yeah.
Maybe. Also, the fear laughter. Everybody makes fun of that laughter, but that's because he's fearing for his life as he's laughing.
And it's a good fear laughter. Yeah. You're kind of like, oh, you captured it.
Ooh, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. We're all uncomfortable
in the
moment.
Because he's uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. That's
Joe Pesci does not mess around.
George Carlin bit. Do you remember that? He prayed to the god of Joe Pesci.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's no. One of the great Carlin bits of all time.
Well, well, well. That's my pregame before the Rangers game tonight, yeah, little routine.
Yeah, it's really good. He's like, yeah, he's talk. He's he gets into religion, and he's like, I pray to the God of Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci gets things done. It's a great bit. It's a great bit. Hey, Florida State was good yesterday playing baseball. I know, right? Can you believe it? How about that? They weren't just good. They beat that ass. Run ruled Virginia.
Right, yeah. The run rule is only available in the tournament
ACC
such as that.
Tournament. First time Virginia, the Hoos, have been run ruled since 2006, everybody. You don't just run rule Virginia in the ACC tournament like we did. It's been a long time, buddy. I think the run rule is ridiculous. We are grown-ups. These are men. I don't care if time is of the essence. If you're going to be on the wrong end of a 33-3 beating, that's the beating you're going to take. We're not run ruling nothing. Yeah. People can score 10 runs in an inning. It happens. Hell, it just happened to the Pirates the other night.
Fair enough. Given the way we manage the bullpen right. Sometimes, though, it saves us an inning. There you go. Or
no,
two.
No, I'm pleased. Yeah. I'm very pleased. That's right. He was the dad and blow of that very – he was so disappointed. He was so
not
sad.
Mike Martin Jr. Not Mike Martin Jr.
No, Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta. I'm going to keep coming back to this. Died in his sleep. Well, yes.
He was also in Hannibal.
He's in a gazillion things,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, the sequel to, yeah, which was not as good.
It was terrible. When you flip around, you'll find, you're like, oh, there's Ray Liotta's in this. And a lot of times you're like, Ray was hard up for some cash.
Yep.
Ray's in this, is he? Yeah.
To my generation, one of his most famous roles was as Tommy Vercetti. In Grand Theft Auto Vice City. He
and
was
he's
the voiceover.
Funny as hell.
Oh,
yes. The whole thing is funny.
That whole video
well,
game is amazing.
Grand Theft Auto rules. Yeah. Never gets old. He's in Unlawful Entry. We could keep going. That, by the way, that movie title is.
He had a bit part in Empire Strikes Back. That's not true.
That's not true at all. Yeah. Yeah. The heart can take only so much abuse is Life Spectator's observation. Now, of course, none of us actually knowing Ray Liotta from Adam as the person. But those Chantix commercials. The
and the spoofs thereof.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, my guy online is the best. But yeah, the Chantix commercials are, we kind of, it's not a game we play anymore on the show. It's kind of moved into the realm of uncouth. Probably always was, but you know, people are so sensitive anymore, and I do enough things to get myself in trouble on here or say enough things. But back in the day on the JCS, we had death pools. I'm not going to run from it. And a lot of times you'd look for, you know, you wanted something tangible. You wanted evidence of an impending calling card, right? I remember that.
Right.
And so for years, I bet on Bob Hope, my shoes are brown. And, I used to talk about, you know, my man was a mess at all times. Every time they rolled him out there. And he never died. He never died. He was always, I was like, this is unbelievable. Bob Hope was old in the 1960s.
Yep, he's up there.
How is he still alive?
The infamous Keith Richards.
Yeah, well, now, Keith, I see how he's still alive. He's an alien.
Right.
Along with Willie Nelson.
Well, and the sports
never
version.
Never going to die.
Who's the sports version? Hubie Brown, because he's still working.
And good.
Yes.
He doesn't suck.
He's pushing 90.
Very few people past the age of 80 have anything of any importance to say or do. Now,
Vince Scully.
Doesn't mean we don't love them. Doesn't mean they're not important. Doesn't mean you can't sit down and pick their brain and learn from their experiences.
I'm
talking about professionally on the air as whatever, right? That typically you're like,
Don't pick their brain over dessert. Only in appetizer settings. Because by the time it gets to dessert, that's when the cuckoo comes out.
Now, what I'm saying is, I'm just saying, like, what I mean is, if you're so in broadcasting terms, you hear guys in their 80s that are still doing anything. That's very rare, first of all. But secondly, you're always on the edge of your seat. You're usually kind of, is he going to say something wildly inappropriate? Because of a certain generation.
The previous one.
Even my dad's dad, like going back, like our granddad's generation. If they, you know, had a couple of pops and they were in their 80s, you're like, something most unfortunate could be uttered at the dinner table here. And it doesn't have to be just like I think everybody driving is thinking it's racism, which you did worry about from a certain generation, certainly. Hell, any generation. But you could be anything. It could be anything where you're like, eh, it's not 1937. Yeah. You just can't describe a woman that way.
Right, right. No. That's my pop-up Lang. But it was Brooklyn. It was Brooklyn in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. I mean, and that was a very segmented place. It's like, here's your neighborhood. Do not leave your neighborhood.
Right, right. A certain and that view could be, of everybody that ever came here.
It could be German and Irish.
No, that's what I mean. Everybody had a role, and it was clearly defined in the eyes of the people of that generation. It was all...
It's like, if you want to go see the Italians, do so on Saturday morning. Yeah. You go to the butcher shop, the pasta shop, you go in. But you got to be out by like 4.
The problem is, of course, that whole generation didn't call them the Italian neighborhood or the Irish neighborhood or the black neighborhood. They didn't.
Yeah, the interesting thing about that time was they called each other the worst names, and they did so to each other's faces.
Well, that's the worst. It was almost like
NAFTA.
Equal opportunity hate.
It was like
speech.
NAFTA for slurs. You know, just free trade. That's right. I am,
and this
is what you are.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be $3.50.
Now let's have a beer.
$3.50. It was $3.25 last week.
Yes, I am saying, Preston, don't listen to Mike Francesa. But back to this. Well, where was I going with that? I think we need to go back to
baseball.
We probably need to go back to the Noles winning big. I'm shook by Ray Liotta's death. I am.
Who wouldn't be?
Oh, yeah, the Chantix commercials. When I saw the Chantix commercials, had we still had a death pool on the JCS is where I was going, I would have told you, my man, Ray Liotta is moving to the forefront here.
Right,
he
right.
may not be the leader in the clubhouse, but Ray's in trouble. Mm-hmm. Ray needs our help. Thank God he finally stopped smoking right there at the end.
You know who outlasted Ray Liotta? Isn't Anthony Hopkins still kicking?
Oh, yeah. He's doing great.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's doing great. Anthony Hopkins is dead sober and has been for like 50 years.
Still.
I'm saying there's a big difference. Ray Liotta wasn't sober yesterday before he died.
I got you.
Is my guess.
But for 20 years, Anthony Hopkins looks like he could be on the brink. I mean, really. He's like, every word, you're like, ooh, man, that's a fragile word he's uttering there.
He's good at it, though. I mean, he gets into characters oftentimes that seem fragile. But if you see him, like, on his Instagram, he's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's great.
There's consensus here.
He's worth following.
Why do I not know about Anthony Hopkins' Instagram?
He's great. Go follow him. He's awesome. He actually has little words of wisdom, as one might suspect, from Anthony Hopkins. And he's a lovely human being. He really is. I mean, the only reason I followed is I stumbled across one time a little speech he gave on his birthday, and it was lovely. It was just the sweetest sentiment ever.
In the 3 hours a day he can be awake, because I feel like that's all the energy he has.
That's all the energy one needs at that age. 3 hours?
That's right. Yeah.
You can get down
breakfast,
in 3 hours, you can have a little fun.
Have a little nap, eat a little lunch,
have a little
6 hour nap.
Yeah, whatever it might be. He's doing great. He's doing just fine.
Is that a Triscuit?
He's doing, you'd like to have tea with Anthony Hopkins. You would.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
He and Michael Caine, before they went, if you could sit, oh my goodness, that would be amazing.
But that's why you can't put Anthony Hopkins next to Chantix.
Oh, no. Listen, it's a handicapped race. It's like a scratch golfer playing against a 20 handicap. You know, it's going to be close. It's going to be close. Just an offset there. There's an offset at the start.
Rest in peace, Ray Liotta, and get you some of that Virginia. Get you some of that UVA. 13-3 out of nowhere. Now, I tweeted this last night. I don't tweet as much anymore, but I did last night because I couldn't help. I was compelled. Reese Albert hit a home run, and I'm going to admit something before we go to break. It's a long first segment, but, I mean, paying honor to the Ray Liotta. I began to resent Reese Albert this year. This is a me problem.
What?
Oh, yeah, it's a me problem.
Why this year? That doesn't make sense.
Oh,
I feel like it'd be in previous years.
He hit like a child. And I was getting so tired. I'm like, what are we doing with rolling Reese Albert out here out of pity? Like, why? I'm sorry you screwed up your shoulder. It's a shame. It's a shame. But my man is out here with zero home runs in college baseball. It's ridiculous. And I thought, well, I get it. We keep rolling him out there.
He's hitting 298.
298 in college isn't great, especially when you have zero home runs, Tom. Zero. He was a slappy.
12 doubles.
You're trying.
Well, he's opsing around 800. I mean,
slappy. And so I was so frustrated all year long. I was like, man. come on now. We don't have to keep out of sympathy rolling Reese Albert out here just because he's in year nine.
It's on bases 400.
And he's got very little chance to play at the next level. We don't have to just keep playing him because we, you know, because we respect and love that he's fought hard to come back from the injury. Clearly that hasn't worked. And so yesterday, in a blowout, when he pimped the hell out of that home run.
You get you some.
You better pimp. It's probably the last one you're ever going to hit in your life. And so there it was. He hit that home run, and I went, all the resentment left me. I went, all right, good for you.
Oh, so this is a story of healing. Okay.
Yeah. He didn't know he was loathed by me. I'm admitting to it publicly because I have forgiven. And it's a me problem, not a him problem.
And yet you forgive him.
I do.
It's again, you it's problem, me, but you forgive.
I'm forgiving him for causing my angst.
This feels like a screenplay that Anthony Hopkins would read.
I just kind of was thinking, you know, you've caused much consternation this year to go along with so many on that team.
So it's my fault, but I have to forgive him.
Yes.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the weirdest team of all time, though. They are strange. They're strange even by college baseball standards. They're strange by Florida State college baseball standards over, say, the last handful of years where you would watch that team lose in glorious fashion if you're the other team doing the winning, and most frustrating to watch, only to turn around and feel really positive about the possibility of a big win streak against a really good team. That's who they've been this year.
Oh, there are 2 years where they're dead on March 25th and they go to Omaha.
I know. And so who knows? 13-3. I'll get into some of that and some Florida State football and more Ray Liotta talk. Damn it, man. Rest in peace, Ray Liotta. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Love you ever them. They just won't take. You can ask them, please.
Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. In addition to winning 13-3 yesterday, I should note that Florida State takes on Notre Dame today at 3 o'clock and advances to the semis if they, in fact, beat Notre Dame. And, hey, you know, sure. Maybe they'll run rule Notre Dame.
Don't you feel like that's more of a possibility now because they go in streaks? It's all or nothing, not alternating all and nothing.
I don't know, man.
That's the correct answer. I tried to trick you. That's the correct answer. I don't know.
It's the weirdest thing. Is Corey with us? He'll know. Corey Clark, warchant.com, joins me for our Thursday chat. Corey, how much hatred is in the air today when Florida State and Notre Dame meet? Just think of that, this emanating from both these managers, probably once beloved friends, now certainly stone cold enemies.
Obviously, yeah. Meats told both of us several times how much he hates Link Jarrett and wishes he wasn't in the profession. So, yeah, it's a good point. I'm glad we're starting there.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever said that, of course, but I'm going to project that on him because I think he does.
It'd be cool if he beat him, right? It'd be cool if Meat beat Link.
Yeah, but he has. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Not this year, though, right?
No, they didn't beat him this year. Last year they did.
Pitching, the kid that's pitching for Notre Dame today, is he's the one that out-dueled Messick when they pitched earlier in the year. Like, the kid, I think, struck out 12, walked one, gave up
zero runs. So that means we're both picking Florida State 10, Notre Dame nothing?
Correct. Yeah. Once those bats get turned on, man, they don't. They
you
don't
can't turn those things off.
It's like a fire hydrant. It's just going to go and go and go.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that team. That was funny yesterday. What was it? I think they were 500. They hit 500 with runners in scoring position yesterday.
Yeah.
Baseball's weird. Baseball's weird, though, right, Corey? I mean, here's the thing. We bring this up all the time. There have been games where they left, like, 15 guys on base, and then I remember thinking, well, you know, if the object is to get on base, they did a really good job today. The gripe this year has been not so many of those days where they left everybody on base and just were a little unlucky with runners in scoring position, because that happens in baseball. It's been that people don't get on base.
Hmm. Correct. Yeah, that's the problem. They had the worst on-base percentage in the ACC, or did, until yesterday. So, yeah, it's troubling. I like my lighting. I feel like I forgot my big lighter down in Tallahassee, like the thing that lights up my video. And so now I look like I'm in The Godfather. I got the all black. It's kind of shady.
How dark. Fitting is it on a day we lose Ray Liotta?
Man, how sad is that? I love that dude.
Shook me up to start the show, man. I was on the air before I was aware of this. And like the first thing that pops up in the feed is rest in peace, Ray Liotta. Or actually, they didn't even say that. They just said something about Ray Liotta. I was like, well why is somebody mentioning Ray Liotta on my feed? This is not good. Because, you know, that's what we all do. You instantly, you're terrified. Plus, if you'd seen the Chantix commercials, you know, Ray hadn't been looking good.
No, but he still was only, I mean, only 67. That's
Yeah,
not,
but Ray was 67 going on 105.
Yeah, I mean, lived a life, hadn't he? He lived through the 80s. He did some things in the 80s.
Yeah, some things as in a lot of cocaine.
Correct. Well, I mean, we're that's alleged. We don't know.
No, he admitted it. He's admitted in interviews that I've read. My man wasn't trying to hide from something. You're smoking two packs a day. You got to be on something.
Right, true. Yeah, so, but going back to baseball and not Ray Liotta, RIP Ray, that was just, who would have thought, number one, Ferrer and Tibbs are the real deal. We know they can hit. They've been their best hitters all year.
All year long.
Reese Albert hitting a ball 430 feet or whatever that was, just completely out of nowhere, like hitting it out of the stadium.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, well, that's – we were just talking about him on headlines. Like, I saw him hit home runs to left field 3 years ago, and now he doesn't hit them anywhere. And for him to hit it like that – but again, it's like, man, it was cool that they won the game, but I don't know, man. Maybe if they go on a run and somehow win the tournament, you feel differently about this team. But I think our feelings about this team are true. They could get swept in the regional. They could win the regional. We literally have no idea. I think the biggest development, and it wasn't developed maybe you'd want like it to, Hubbard was better, but Hubbard still isn't. He's not pitching like an ace like he did at the beginning of the season, and that's troubling because you can't just use Messick and Crowell and get out of a regional. You can't do it.
Yeah, he started well yesterday, but then did not look like the guy that can dominate. I mean, he still ended up, I mean, you know, when you think about an ace, you don't think about a guy who goes four innings for you and gives up three runs.
Yeah, and so his last three games, Miami, UNC, and then this one, his three starts, he's pitched a total of 10 innings. That doesn't get it done, man. That's not what Florida State's strength is, those two guys to start a series. And now it seems like it's just one guy, and Messick needs to have a good outing today, or otherwise you're going to be a little worried about him in a regional because he hasn't been good his last two starts.
I would say this, and I've thought this as the year has went on and no matter the results, I feel like Parker Messick is built that way. Like, that's a guy that you can have a little faith in. I know that he hasn't been as good, nobody has, on this team on the road as he has been at home. But if you are relying on a singular pitcher on this staff, it's Messick, and we all would agree on that. And we think, without that much hesitation, that he could go out and pitch really well today. It wouldn't be surprising to any of us. If you name almost any other pitcher on this staff, if you said that we were relying on that pitcher to go out and have a great game for us today, we would all say hesitantly that we were hopeful. Whereas with Parker Messick, you can say with confidence, I think he's wouldn't surprise me to see him go out and pitch really, really well today.
Yeah, and look, man, say they win the game and they move to the semifinals. They've won a bunch. They win ACC baseball tournaments a good bit.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of them, and neither do any of you. No. Nobody cares about them when you lose the next week or the week after that or lose in Omaha. Nobody's like, well, yeah, but remember the ACC championship? I'm interested in how meet coaches today because I think it will be a glimpse into what the postseason is going to be. If Messick gets you six innings and you're winning 2-1, who pitches the seventh? Is Montgomery an option at all? Or is he just a dude you're going to save for the weekend? I want to see that. That's all I care about. Is I don't care if they win the ACC tournament. Good luck. I hope it happens, but I don't care. I want to see what he's going to do with Montgomery and Dunn and Hare and Crowell out of the bullpen.
I agree.
That to me is as important as Hubbard.
Yeah, I agree. He got his lineup right yesterday. If you look at the way that he placed the order of the lineup, he got the lineup right yesterday. And so, I don't know. I think this is a true statement. Tell me if you agree. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. It's been a tough year for me. I don't feel like he's been commiserate to the baseball knowledge I think he possesses. I don't think he's managed to the baseball knowledge that I give him credit for having. I don't think this has been a good year for him.
It's been bizarre because it's not just he shuffles the lineup and he never has a set lineup. It's they don't have set positions. Like one day, Logan Lacy started the season in center field and we were told he's the best center fielder they've ever seen. And I know he's been injured, but he wasn't playing center the whole time even before he got injured. Then he's at third sometimes. You don't know who your second baseman is half the time. It's a first baseman now. Brock Mathis is sometimes your first baseman if a lefty's pitching. So, yeah, it's been odd. I do think the bats have come around. I know they just got shut out by North Carolina the game before, but if you've been watching them the last five or six games, they were putting together better bats. They weren't striking out a ton. Even the game they got shut out by North Carolina, they struck out four times. So there was something to build on. But, it's been odd. And you don't want to be 56 games in your season and not know who your number three starter is and not know who your seventh inning guy is. And I don't think they know that.
The seventh inning guy part of that equation bothers me more, oddly enough, because I feel like they've thrown a lot of guys at the problem for that Sunday starter, your third starter. It's not their fault they don't know who it is because everybody they've put in that role sucked.
Right.
So, I mean, he's juggled. He's tried. He's put people out there and said, like, this is your chance to go win it, and nobody's taken it. Who's gone out there on a Sunday, you know, in a series and said, it's mine, and dominated? Nobody.
No, Dunn did against not good teams.
Oh, in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, but once ACC started, it wasn't him. And it's like, man, I just don't know how you see Montgomery, the way he pitched in those two closer situations.
Right.
To then run him back out there on a Sunday. It's not working. But you have an elite arm that it's your job to utilize. It's your job as the manager that gets paid money to figure out the best way he can help your team. And Carson Montgomery's not helping your team really in any way, shape, or form right now. But he's too good a pitcher not to.
Well, he misses bats. So towards the end of games, when it's all on the line and you're not good defensively, you want a guy that can miss bats. He can miss bats. He's got great stuff for an inning, maybe two. I mean, that's where he would be best utilized, one would think. I think it's no-brainer. I don't think this is a tough decision.
Yeah, but it'll be Scolaro probably. You know, it'll probably be Scolaro in the seventh today. And that's what I wonder about is, like, that's what I want to see. Like, just give Montgomery a chance. And now, look, maybe he pitches the eighth inning because they are awful in the eighth inning and have been all year.
What's
maybe
that number again? What's that record?
I haven't looked it up since then. Maybe they've scored they scored some in the eighth yesterday to even up. But it was 36-3 at one point. They were outscored in the eighth inning. But let Montgomery get a shot in this game that doesn't really matter at all just to see. And then you go into a regional where you have Montgomery. If he does well, you have Montgomery and Hare and Crowell. Those are three really good arms out of the bullpen if you can trust Montgomery to do it. I just think he's much more valuable getting you three outs in the eighth inning or seventh inning in a high leverage spot than giving you three and a third to start a game on Sunday.
When are you and Aslan getting together for Wake Up? What should we be expecting?
Oh, we've already done it. So, it'll be tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow.
Okay.
You'll get your Wake Up 4chan at midnight. It drops, so you can listen to it. So, Renegade Express Edition. So, we answer all the people's questions.
All right.
Somebody asked this, and I want you to do this after the break, if you can answer it.
All right.
The maddest you've ever been.
Somebody asked you the maddest you've ever been about Florida State?
That was on the Renegade Express. No, not about Florida State. Just in life.
Oh, good question. All right, I'll do it. I'll do it. We have that to look forward to. Thanks for teasing on the Jeff Cameron Show.
That's what I do, baby. That's what I do. War champ for life.
Later, brother.
Time to shine a path that leads to God's own dying sun.
The ad that just played here locally on 93.3 Real Talk Radio involving the liner that you heard just as we were coming back, my friends Chad and Shannon, I may be giving them a call, the legendary team at Hamilton Home Loans. Maybe as soon as next month.
Summer relocation?
No, I think at the end of the day, without being too long-winded, I want to get some of their advice, not on a home loan this time around, but, you know, they're experts on all things involving this process, home loans, but also if you needed to draw against your home to perhaps add.
Buy a boat.
Whatever it might be, I certainly trust Chad and Shannon in that process, and I'm going to, in fact, get their advice on this because I don't think I'm moving.
Okay.
I think I'm going to wait.
You're going to do an expansion?
Oh, yeah.
The back deck is just going to be the entirety of your backyard? Giant back deck?
If I didn't have dogs, that would be an option. I'd have a great time with that. Just a giant back deck with a fire pit and a cooler that's
three holes of mini golf.
Oh, how great would that be? But I want to learn. I want to know what I should do involving that process. And that's where Chad and Shannon can help me out. The legendary team, Hamilton Home Loans. Give them a call today if you have similar type questions. Or if you're actually moving and you want to get a home loan and you need to figure out the best mortgage process, well, it's with Hamilton Home Loans. Plus, they're Knowles. They're diehard Knowles. You guys can commiserate. They even like it. Like, you can just call and you start talking about what you're trying to do, sell one home, buy another, whatever it might be. But then if you bring up the Knowles, like, well, hold on, we'll talk about the loans in a second. Let's talk about the Knowles. They'll get into it with you, which is a good thing. 844-FSU-LOAN, also FSUHomeLoans.com. So we were asked, Corey said they were asked a question on the Renegade Edition of Wake Up War Chant, which was the maddest you've ever been in your life about anything.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few things, as I bring this up as a criticism of myself all the time, that I matured late in life. Like I didn't have real good balance in my life until I was older than I think I should have been. It's easy for me to reflect on that now, but I was a pretty immature, say, 24-year-old, whereas Tom was the antithesis. And Tom was very mature for his age. It's one of the first things I ever noticed about him when I met him. And so because of that, I do have a lot of silly moments where I allowed that useless emotion to get the best of me, anger, that is, where I can think of anger. You know, that's how you get in dumb things like fights. Like, grown-ups don't get in fights. Like, once you are mature enough, not typically. So what it takes for you to get that kind of mad, in my opinion, what can anger me is when there is a person who is defenseless that's being picked on. Somebody who is, I can't stand bullies. If somebody is ill-equipped to defend themselves or help themselves in intellectually or otherwise, and they're being picked on, I won't abide by that. And if I witness it for any length of time, I can feel that in the pit of my stomach, the rage beginning to happen to a point where I think even at this age, I could hurt somebody or I'd be tempted to put an end to that sort of thing. And I once saw a person push somebody who was handicapped to the ground and laugh. And I think that might have been in a moment, like in a flash,
yeah,
the angriest I've ever been. Now, the immaturity anger, I don't want to admit to an assault, but I did harm somebody in college once that for something that was, I mean, they deserved the beating, but it was over the top.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done it. But I know that in that moment, I found a rage in me that scared me, and it made me mindful never to reach that place again.
So that's an important thing, because then you're out of control, literally. You don't know what you're going to do, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
That's the old cliche of people pulling somebody off of another guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you've jarred the memory for a couple of situations mm-hmm. in which I saw bullying go on, and I had something to do with the bullying. Not as the one, as in...
Oh,
the answer.
Yeah, because you were mad.
Save that for a bellying up, because there are some things that I would say on bellying up I can't say here.
Sure.
Admissions
sure.
that I would make.
Sure.
I'll stay out of family anger, too. That's not for the air. But so I'll stay very much in that collegial atmosphere.
Okay.
You know the story.
I know the one that, yes, is it involving popcorn or some sort of food?
Oh, no.
That's a good one.
That was my roommate.
Yeah.
He would not clean up. Oh, my goodness. He was the biggest stoner in the world.
That's a good one.
And so what did he value most? And that was his bowl of popcorn. So I slapped the hell out of that thing out of his lap. And I said, you clean this up and you clean up what you're supposed to clean up. And I didn't hit him. I hit the bowl of popcorn, and he looked at me like, why? And I'm like, you know what? Damn well why.
I love that he was more concerned about the loss of popcorn.
Yes.
Than
that
he was
tells
about
you,
the task at hand or the pseudo-assault.
It was the dude, and I saw Colbert very nicely, director.
Mm.
It was the dude who blew smoke in my face.
Yeah, I know that story.
I warned him. I said, don't do that again. And it wasn't like with rage.
No, it was very calm. I was like, that's the scary warning. That is the, we've reached a place now. There is no return.
And the other people at the party were like, don't do that. And he goes, what? And does it again?
Yeah.
Look, man, I've never seen.
That's where you see red?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've never seen red before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's really dangerous.
Oh, it is. Yeah. But you have to know that that's in you, right? That's like once you learn it's in you, you got to, okay. Mm-hmm. You're better off extricating yourself from the situation.
I couldn't. But what are you going to, that was the maddest because in any other situation, I had time to process how angry I was, even in the bullying situations. That was the one where I saw dead red and I was like a bull. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, there it is. That's the answer to the question. So there you go,
Corey. Great question.
That is. It's seldom asked. It makes you think. It makes you have to hearken back.
Sports angry? Is it one of the wide rights?
Yeah, I think that. Oddly,
was it going for two against Miami instead of kicking the extra point?
No, that didn't bother me.
Should have.
No, that one didn't bother me. Yeah.
Clock management 93. If we had lost, that would be number one.
Let me tell you something. This is easily forgotten as we get older, and because the man was a legend and responsible for so many wonderful moments in Seminole football history. But Coach Bowden was never great at game organization and clock management. That Corey would agree with that. I think most honest, fair-minded Seminoles would tell you that that was true.
I asked you
situationally,
both.
Situationally, he was not very good.
When you were at the happy hour last year, I said, did you guys know that in the moment? Like, because we're so situationally aware these days, I think social media brings that to the forefront. It's more present. That person's always in the conversation, whoever that person is. So I asked in 93, did you guys know that in the stands? And both of you viscerally,
There were fair criticisms.
You flashed back to pure anger.
Yeah, there are fair criticisms for any coach. And Bobby Bowden included, that was a big one. Like, come on, man, we need to get this aspect together. On the one hand, you'd say that nobody could recruit like that guy. If he got in, if he got onto your couch or your dinner table and sat down, I mean, that kid was coming to Florida State, and that's a huge compliment. It's a big part of the job, at least it was for a very long time. But he could butcher the ends of games. And that was really troubling and frustrating. And so, it's fair to bring that up. There were a lot of moments. I think maybe one of the angriest I've ever been was it 02 when we lost to Miami? Is that the game that where Greg Jones runs for a gazillion yards and we lose?
Is that the Shockey game?
There's so many moments.
Yeah.
Miami out of a timeout.
Why left?
Just destroyed us year in and year out. Late in games, they'd call a timeout and invariably – they would run a halfback screen that would go for 80. It was crazy.
And the backside tight end drag in the red zone. Nobody ever covered
day
that.
Long. Drove me nuts. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio. War Chant TV.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Oddly, I don't know if I consider this sort of a kiss my ass on Main Street moment. We always like to document those. But a short segment allows me to do so here. I think, Tom, this might. Michelle Wee has stepped away for good from golf. How old do you think Michelle Wee is, given how long she was in the news for a preternatural skill at a very young age? The feeling is it never translated into the prodigy she was thought to be. She does have a major. She did win 5 times on tour, I think it is. Might be 10. Should double check that, Jeff. And she made a bunch of money. But what do you think?
33.
She's 32. 32. So I looked up career earnings and the like, and this is where I went with the could be a kiss my ass on Main Street moment. And that is that and she was largely criticized, especially as she withdrew from certain tournaments several times. She became, for a brief period of time, a person that would post an 80. 3
Yep.
On a professional event,
mm-hmm.
at a professional event, and then leave, like withdraw, and you'd go, really? Tough round. We're going to call it a day, are we? Like, there are people who are obviously hurting and withdraw from a tournament. And you're like, okay, Tiger can barely walk. Got it. But there have been a couple Michelle Wee moments where you're like, you just didn't play well. I'm not so sure I'm buying this. But so she got ripped for a while there. And turns out she made in her career between endorsements and career earnings. On the tour itself, she made over $6 million. But with the endorsement deals that she once signed, I was able to come up with a figure somewhere in the neighborhood. I don't know what she's worth now. But at one point, she made well over $30 million. If you walk away, if you walk away at 32 years of age in your chosen profession of any kind, and you have over $30 million or so or thereabouts, that's a kiss my ass on Main Street.
That's interesting. So she was ahead of her time then, because now
mm-hmm.
I think that same trajectory would have made her hundreds of millions.
Yeah. At one point, she had a brief deal, a couple deals, endorsement deals worth about $10 million. So that's she was doing some things. Hour number two forthcoming. Stay with us, Jeff Cameron Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.